Hello, this is my Lenten diary for February 23rd, 2026. Today is Monday in the first week of Lent. This is a reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Here ends the reading. Today we begin making our way through one of Paul's lengthier letters to what must have been an interesting and complicated congregation in the Greek city of Corinth. We will read about this community's struggles and their strengths. We will learn about their spiritual enthusiasm and the places where that enthusiasm had gone awry. Trust me, this will be fun. As I often mention when I'm teaching one of Paul's letters in a Bible study, Paul did not know he was writing scripture when he sat down to write the letters that eventually were collected to form a large part of what we now call the New Testament. Paul wrote letters back to congregations he had either founded or had spent significant time with as a way of keeping in touch, but also as a way of providing guidance to congregations about both theological and practical matters. Eventually, a number of these writings came to be seen by the early church as instructive for the blossoming Christian movement as a whole, so they began to share these letters amongst themselves, and the rest is history. In today's reading, after having given the usual salutations to the Corinthians, Paul dives in almost immediately to a pressing problem within the church. Divisions. Apparently, there are plenty of various factions who claim authority over others by virtue of identifying who had been baptized by whom. While this sort of bickering can seem arcane by our standards today, I'm always reminded that plenty of church splits happen because of just this sort of conflict, one teacher being elevated over another, people sort of going down hair-splitting paths about various theological matters and such. Paul wishes to reframe the argument. He will not be refuting anyone's baptism, and he will not be ranking spiritual teachers. The rhetorical question, is Christ divided, will be a theme of the letter as Paul reminds the Corinthians of their unity within their diversity. And they had plenty of diversity. Because Corinth was a cosmopolitan city, it is safe to assume that within the congregation at Corinth, there was a diversity of race, nationality, economic status, cultural expectations, and plenty of other things that would have put tension in the life of the congregation. Paul makes a pivot about his own ministry amongst the Corinthians. While he notes that he had, in a few instances, baptized folks within that community, he is clear about the focus of his ministry, to preach, specifically to preach the gospel of Jesus. And then Paul parses that ministry even more carefully. His preaching is not one of rhetorical flourish. Instead, he is seeking to get his message across as directly as possible. In fact, he believes that human eloquence actually dilutes the power of the message about the cross. One of the things that happens at Trinity Church every Friday morning in Lent is that a small group gathers to walk around the worship space to pray a set of devotional prayers called the Way of the Cross. This ancient devotion reflects on various scenes of Jesus as he made his way from Pilate's judgment hall to the place of crucifixion. At Trinity, we have artistic depictions of each of these scenes, and we pause briefly at each scene to hear words of Scripture and offer prayers on behalf of ourselves and others. Growing up, such a prayer practice was not a part of my tradition, but I have found real depth of meaning in making this circuit around the church with fellow believers for these six Fridays in Lent every year. I find praying the stations to be a way of remembering in a profound way the power of the story of the crucifixion. We may not be able to explain what happened on the cross in terms of how Jesus' death saved the world, but we can experience the depth and significance of this story that has changed the world and has changed us as well. The fact is, the cross of Christ doesn't make any sense to any sensible person. And yet, we Christians know that there can be no Christianity without it. The cross is central to our faith, and to the degree that we diminish the cross, we diminish our faith. What we will hear from Paul is not an attempt to make the cross make sense. On the contrary, he will lean into the mystery of the cross. Leaning into the cross, I believe, is a good stance for Christians during this season of Lent. We reflect on the cross and what happened there, not because we want to make ourselves feel bad, but because that symbol of hatred, cruelty, torture, violence, and death has been transformed by Jesus' death into a symbol of hope, compassion, healing, peace, and life. How did that happen? Well, not because a theologian used pretty words, I can assure you. This transformation happened because somehow, in ways that remain a mystery, people's lives were transformed. And those transformed lives transformed history. Admittedly, this makes no rational sense. And that, Paul would probably say, is the point. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations, and as you know the weaknesses of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.